Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas. And just want to enjoy this time we have with family and friends. And let's bow our heads now in a word of prayer before we go to the scripture. Heavenly Father, we're thankful. Be here this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us in this service. Lord, you bless us in the songs, Lord. Now we ask you to bless us with your word. We ask for your divine guidance, Lord, that what you've laid on my heart, that message may be gotten across. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read one verse of scripture there. 19, 1 Corinthians 15. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Maybe seated. There's many times in our lives that we get in situations where we think that we're in a pretty miserable situation. And we get to wondering what got us into this. And sometimes we get to wondering why has this come upon us? And sometimes we get to feeling pretty low down about our lives. Sometimes we get to a place where we think, well, man, my life's just terrible. Well, I want to preach it's a wonderful life. Turn me to Mark 14. Mark chapter 14, when we begin reading to verse 18. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, one of you which is eaten with me shall betray me." They began to be sorrowful and say unto him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" He answered and said to them, "It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born." You ever think about what if you'd have never been born? Brother Branham says, if Abraham would have looked at the circumstances, Isaac would have never been born. He said, if when Abraham and Sarah went down and that king wanted to take Sarah as his wife, he said, if Sarah would have married him, that natural seed would have never been born. And he goes on to say, so if God protected the course of that natural seed, how much more the spiritual royal seed has he protected? Think about when Cain slew Abel. we know that Cain was of the serpent. Abel was of Adam. What if it would have stopped right there? What if Seth would have never been born? But Seth was born. Brother Branham said in one place, he said that the death of Abel and the birth of Seth typed the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Seth wouldn't have been born, then Noah would have never been born. Shem would have never been born. Abraham would have never been born. Isaac would have never been born. Jacob, Judah, David, Christ. Let's look at something here for a few minutes. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 9. Brother Branham says, watch back there how the Spirit of God lived in Abel. Look how it lived in Seth. Look how it lived in Judah. Look how it lived in David. Look at that same Spirit calling out through that righteous seed all the way down. No matter what they done, they were predestinated. Genesis chapter 9, verse 24, it says, Noah woke from his wine and knew that his younger son had done to him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brother. Genesis 24 is when Abraham calls Eliezer to him and says, put your hand on my thigh. And he says, swear unto me that you will not take a wife of these Canaanites for my son. All right, they were cursed. But said that you will go back to my kindred, and take a wife for my son. Swear it to me. That's where Abraham was at. That's where the Canaanites were dwelling. He says, don't go there to take a wife for my son. Why? It had come from Noah. It was cursed because of what Canaan's father done, Ham. You can find in Genesis 38 that it says, Judah, who we know was the son of Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. Judah looked and saw a daughter of a certain Canaanite, and her name was Shua. And Judah went and married her. And he had three sons. He had Onan, and Shelah. And then they took a wife for the firstborn, the eldest. Her name was Tamar. And the Bible says that was wicked in the eyes of the Lord. And so God slew him. Then, because of the way that the custom was, they would give the wife, since no seed had been raised up to they gave the wife, Tamar, then to Onan. And Onan was to raise up seed to his brother, but he would not. So God slayed him. Then Judah was afraid that if he gave his last son to Tamar, that something was wrong with Tamar, that his sons kept dying. Isn't that something, how many times people look at things, instead of looking and saying, wait a minute, something's wrong with me, or something's wrong with my sons, what he should have been thinking. What's wrong with my sons? But he looked at, what's wrong with her? If I give her my other son, he'll die too. Wasn't Tamar's fault. So Judah told her, said, go back to your father's house and dwell there until Shelah becomes of age, and then I'll give you to him. But he did not. And so in the Bible, Tamar heard that Judah was going on a little journey over to another place. And she went and put on the garments of a harlot and sat by the wayside. And Judah beheld her, and Judah went into her. Then he said what to give her in payment. He said, I'll give you a kid. She said, but you have no kid. He says, well, what should I do? And she said, give me something of yours that I may have it until you send the kid. The little goat. And so when Judah returned home, he told one of his servants, take the young goat, take it over there and give it to this woman. Servant came back and said, I can't find her. Then word come to Judah, said, your daughter-in-law Tamar is with child. And Judah said, bring her here. She shall be burned. And when she came, she said, these things, this signet and this bracelet and this staff, to whom they belong is with whom I'm with child. And Judah said, she's more righteous than me. Now, Tamar didn't do it for the fleshly experience. There was something in Tamar that was driving Tamar. Because that seed of Judah had to be preserved. And Christ couldn't come through a cursed seed. He couldn't come through a Canaanite. So it was not meant for her to father children to be heritage to Judah. It wasn't meant for Onan to do it. It wasn't meant for Shelah to do it. So God, preserving that seed and keeping it pure, was behind in orchestrating all this to happen. That was God protecting the natural seed. Because there was one to be born, they would save all mankind. When it came time for Tamar to travail, the Bible says, behold, there were twins. And when it came time for the twins to be born, why, one of them stuck a hand out. And so they tied a scarlet thread around his hand. And he pulled the hand back in. There was a struggle going on. And then the other boy, the other twin, was born then first. And they named him Phares, which means breach, because it said, why did you break the breach? Why was he first born when the other one, they tagged him as being first born? But in a struggle, he couldn't be the one, because the seed was to come through Phares. Even the two twins in the womb, before either one of them was named, before the mother knew one from the other, there was one that was predestinated to be in the lineage of Judah. One that was predestinated to be in the lineage leading up to Christ. See how God protected that natural seed. Brother Branham says in one place, he says, God, talking about your ancestors, your mother, your father, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents. He said he had this one marry that one, and this one marry that one, and this one marry the other one. So it got all the way down to you. Because he said he wanted that certain ting in the bell. Referring to when a bell maker makes bells, makes them different so that each of them will have a different sound to them. And he wanted you to be just the way that you are. I know there's people that, in their terms, can't stand me. But I'm born the way God wanted me to be. And I come to realize it's not me personally that they're not liking, but it's the spirit that's within me. The same with you. But God protected. You were to be of that royal seed. The royal seed of Christ. We're a Gentile people. We didn't come from the Jews. But Paul spoke and said that the seed of Abraham was not all Jews, because there was a spiritual seed. Those that would accept Jesus Christ, we know we have Abraham as the father of our faith. And God wanted your great-great-grandparents to come together so that they would have your great-grandparent. Then had your great-grandparents come together so that your grandparents would be born. Then had your grandparents come together so your mom and dad would be born. Then had your mom and dad come together so you would be born. And then he's had you, many of you, come together with someone else, and now you have children. And if you'd have never been born, they would have never been here. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know what a swaddling cloth is? How many knows what that is? It's the blanket they would put on the back of the oxen or the donkeys or whatever to protect their backs. And so the sweat from them animals would also be absorbed by that swaddling cloth. That's what he was wrapped in. And he lay in a manger. He had, Brother Branham said, he had to be born into flesh so that he could hold the stinger of death. Because God can't die. So God sent his only begotten son. And it wasn't a cell for Mary. It was the cells that were in Mary, they were created cells. It was a created body that Christ was born into. Just like the body that God created and stepped down into to come and fellowship with Abraham in Genesis 17 in the plains of Mamre. Created body. A veil he could walk in, a veil of his own creation. Not the creation of a woman. But he created this and stepped into it. It was in the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 7 message series, the Ram says, watch what God was telling Abraham. At Calvary, according to your seed, out of you come Isaac, out of Isaac come Jacob, out of Jacob and on down and on down and on down, successors till finally through that righteous seed. We just got through here saying our Lord sprung out of a nation that knowed not Moses, never even spoke of it, come out of a priesthood. Our Lord sprung out of the tribe of Judah, not of Levi, for Levi was carnal legalists. That's what became of the tribe of Levi. They were priests in the time of Moses. But on down through the ages, the Ram says, they eventually became carnal legalists. They were in keeping the law. And Jesus said to him, you keep the outside clean, but the inside's full of dead men's bones. Turn me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read all these verses that go with the verse we opened this service with. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we have found false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. That means those that have went by the way of the grave. They're perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But Christ has rose from the dead. And because he's rose from the dead, then we have hope in Christ in the life to come. Because he is raised, this isn't just the end of our life. This is only the beginning. I don't care what your age is chronologically sitting here this morning. You're still at the beginning of your life. You may be coming to the end of the life here on earth, but you have eternal life to never die. This is just the beginning. It's a wonderful life. We have children that we can raise to know these things, that how that God protected those seeds right on down through and show them that the meaning of Christmas, it comes on down to their salvation. Not teaching them about Santa Claus and all these things, but teaching them about what it really means. Not only that Christ was born, but that he rose again. I know we usually preach resurrection messages on Easter. But I'm preaching this one today. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Meaning because he raised, it's showing forth they will be raised too, the dead in Christ. For since by man came death, by man also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. It doesn't matter sometimes the financial struggles we go through. That's not the big picture. That's just sometimes the struggles we go through in this life. But this isn't the end of our life. Brother Branham said, this is only a shadow. In the book of Psalms, the book of David, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. The valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because this body can die, but the real you that's on the inside can never die. If, as the Bible said, ye are Christ. At Calvary, God come down and took a body of his own son in which he lived, and he ripped it apart at Calvary, bleeding, wounded, cut, and the spear run in there and ripped him apart. and his blood gushed out. And he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He bowed his head, and the earth shook, and the lightnings flashed, and the thunders roared. God was writing his everlasting covenant. And he took his dead body from the grave on the first day of the week and brought it up into heaven and set it there as the high priest, as a memorial, sitting there perfect forever. And he sent the spirit that he tore out of that body right back down on the church. And the church will have that same spirit that was in that body, or it won't dovetail it with it in the resurrection. Those two pieces must perfectly fit together. And if the church isn't perfectly just exactly the same spirit that was in Christ, then you'll never go in the rapture. I go back to something I read to you earlier. He said, watch back there how the Spirit of God lived in Abel. Look how it lived in Seth. Look how it lived in Judah. Look how it lived in David. Look at that same spirit calling out through that righteous seed all the way down. And look how that spirit lives in you and I. Brother Branham said about them, he said, no matter what they done, they were predestinated. We've made a lot of mistakes in this life. There's not a one of us here perfect. But the glorious thing is, God knew you would choose him. Therefore, before the foundation of the world, he chose you. He predestinated you. Which means that no matter what Satan can hurl at you, you're going to make it. And no matter what he can hurl at us in this life, we will come through it. Many times we combat fear. Fear of so many different things. A lot of people have a fear of death. Death can't take you until it's God's time. And I'll tell you what, when it's your time, God will have moved something within you to where you're ready to accept that being your time. And when it's your time, nothing can hold you here. And during the resurrection, there's no grave that can hold your body down. For you'll come back and pick up your glorified body. What is it? Potash, calcium, these different things, the 16 elements this body's made up out of. They'll come back together, but this time the molecules will be aligned correctly. And you'll never grow old. See, the molecules got misaligned when Adam sinned. That's why I said, in the day you eat thereof, that day you'll die. Peter said, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. No man has ever lived 1,000 years. Methuselah lived to be the oldest. I think it was like 969 years or something like that. But there's coming a rapture. And for those that are in Christ, there's a wedding supper waiting on us. We'll be caught up into heaven. We with one another and be with Christ. Hallelujah. And then we'll be there 3.5 years. During that 3.5 years, of course, Christ will slip away and go down and reveal himself to the Jews. And then will come the Battle of Armageddon. And that's when we'll come down with Christ. And we'll live on this earth for 1,000 years. And Satan will be bound during those 1,000 years, the Bible says. What a wonderful life. You won't know death. You won't know sorrow, sadness, grief. Those things will be gone. We grieve over things now. And many times it's not just over death. Sometimes when we see people walk away from serving God, it grieves us. We see our children not where they should be, it grieves us. But if they're ordained of God, Satan ain't got a chance. I don't care how bad the situation looks right now. Righteousness and truth will win out. God's got a way of getting the attention of his children. And he'll go to whatever extremes that it takes to get your attention. So many different things that we can get our eyes on. This world's like being in a 3-ring circus. Something going on over here, something going on over here, something going on over there. Sometimes you don't know where to look and everything else. There's a ringmaster. And he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?" And then all eyes are centered down on him. God knows how to get your attention. And he's going to get the attention of each one of his children because every one of us is going to be ready. Not one of his children will be left behind. You're going to be ready no matter what it takes. You can come easy or you can come hard. But if you belong to God, you're going to come. You that are sitting here, you got loved ones that perhaps are not where they should be in Christ. Just pray for them. And be willing to ask God to do whatever it takes. God, if you got to bring them down to death, whatever it takes. Because this life is so fleeting. It's only for a small bit of time. But even in this life, we have one that we can count on. That in our times of troubles in this world, he is there. He said, as the Bible says, "I'll not fear, for thou art with me." He's with us. He walks with us all the way. He's watched out over, if he could watch out over your lineage all the way down to bring to you, friends, he's not going to lose you. He's watching out over you. And it's going to be all right sometimes in spite of our flesh. Because our flesh sometimes can get us into a lot of trouble. But he'll straighten that out. I'm looking forward to going in a rapture. I'm looking forward to the time of sitting around the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't know what kind of food's going to be there. But I know Weight Watchers is not going to be there. We'll be in a body that where the metabolism hasn't slowed down like it does with us as we get a little older. And we'll be changed. In my mind, I still see myself the way I was when I was a young man. And I can look back at how I was when I was a young man, look at where I'm at now, and wonder what in the world happened. Something has happened to me. It ain't the same face looking at me in the mirror. But one day, my hair is going to be back. My youth's going to be back. Your youth's going to be back. We've got a great hope. And it's not only in this life. But this is a life that he's given us to live here on this earth during this time. And he said if he could take care of the sparrows and the lilies of the field, how much more would he take care of his children? He takes care of us. Oh, I know it's a natural human thing for us sometimes to worry over things. Like I said on Thursday night, worrying has no value. It won't get you anywhere. It won't solve anything. But knowing that God is taking care of you. He's brought you this far. He'll take you the rest of the way. And he'll take care of you in this life and provide. He's Jehovah Jireh. He'll provide what you need. We don't have any rich people in here. None of us. But our needs are provided for. The jobs we have, he gave us. Whatever, all that we've got, he gave us. You know what he really wants in return? Is you. That's what he wants, you. Amen. I believe it's a wonderful life. No matter how bad some things might look at times, just look and know that he's got it in control. You can look back at your life and see times when things look pretty dire. And then you look down and you see, God brought me through that. He's brought us through things that we perhaps would have never thought we could have ever come through. It's a wonderful life that we have. Let's not complain about it. Let's not get down in the dumps. Let's not let depression and thoughts and all, it's an age of depression, people. It's an age of stress. It's an age of hurry, 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 hurry. Take some time to thank God for your life. Take some time to read and learn about Him. In my lifetime, I've looked at many different things at times for comfort, for reassurance. But all those things failed. The one thing I can find and take comfort in is His Word. And Paul said, it is impossible for God to lie. That's the one thing He can't do. Only thing God can't do is lie. Because He is truth. But He can do anything else. I think about the people in the world who haven't given their life to Christ. What have they got to count on? What have they got to look to? You can talk to some of them and they know. No, I'm lost. I've heard people actually say directly to me, I know I'm going to hell. But they won't change. They won't give their life to God. You know what? They've got nothing to count on. They got nothing to care for them. When they're going through it, for instance, when they're going through it with the IRS, they ain't got no big brother to back them up. But you do. I think we got a wonderful life. Even if we got loved ones. I was dreaming last night about my oldest son. But I got hope. That God will speak to him. That's what I hope for. So not all, I look at it and say, not all is lost. Not all hope is gone. Because God can do anything. He reached out and turned me around from the direction that I was going. Friends, I had walked completely away from the life of living for Christ. I walked away from all of it. But He got my attention, turned me around. And I am what I am today because of Him. A lot of people that aren't serving God, they don't like to give thought to what ifs. They just want to go headlong into this is what's making me feel good right now. This is what's making me, this is what I'm enjoying. This is fun. It's like Brother Adam saw those, I believe it was two women drinking, going up into this hotel, staggering around. And one of them whooped up and said, "This is life." And he said, "It's not life, that's death." I'm so glad we don't only have hope in this life, but we got hope in a life to come. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you for sending your son. We thank you, Lord, for what you did and the way you did it. That you come down into a body of flesh so you can embrace death for us. When this body can't function anymore, our soul goes home to be with you. Lord, we've got hope in the life to come. All because you sent your son, who was born in a manger, grew to be a man, a prophet, son of man. Embraced death on Calvary, shed his blood for our sins, paid the price for our sin, went to hell for our sin, raised again on the third day, I'd like to think on those things during this time of the year, Lord. Think of what you've done for us. What it all really means. Ask you to bless your people today, Lord. Ask you to bless them through this holiday. Bless the children. Help us, Lord God, to point our children, our grandchildren, toward what it really is all about and means. We ask these things in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of God. Amen.